The Tony Greg Show.
Welcome to the Tony Greg Show on Crick Info Talk.
News this week.
Anil Kumble's Indian test team have returned to India, and while they were soundly beaten, there is an air of expectancy associated with Mahindra Singh Dhoni's younger one-day international team. This expression of hope goes back to India's wonderful performance in the 2020 World Cup and their recent superb victory against Australia. It's always more difficult to predict limited overs matches because the bowlers are restricted in terms of the overs they can bowl. Ajanta Mendis caused chaos in the test, but only has 10 overs a match in the 50-over format. Mind you, with the miserly Muthiah Muralidharan down the other end, it's still going to be difficult for India. The Sri Lankans have never enjoyed batsmen who go after them, so I expect India to adopt an aggressive approach with a bat in the hope of unsettling the spinners in particular. If they don't succeed, I expect Sri Lanka to win. Mind you, we should never forget the Virendra Sehwag factor when judging India. He played very well in the tests and will be full of confidence. Like Sanath Jayasurya, he's capable of winning the game on his own. One way or the other, this has the makings of a very entertaining series. While on the subject of India, it's worth making a quick observation about their recent test series defeat. There is absolutely no doubt that India were let down by their middle order. The openers, Sehwag and Gambhir, more often than not, got India off to a really good start. When this happens, one would expect a middle order consisting of Dravid, Tendulkar, Laxman and Ganguly to cash in. We now know that they definitely didn't, largely because of their inability to handle the combination of Mendis and Murali. The Indian selectors, if they're worth their salt, will have to question whether or not the time has come to drop any of them. It would surprise me if all of those mentioned didn't at least consider their own respective roles in the future of Indian cricket, especially now that the IPL is providing them with such an income boost. India should be looking to introduce some young players in order to avoid the problems associated with a mass exodus of experience. That is never a good idea. India also looked sluggish in the field by comparison with Sri Lanka, and that certainly doesn't help. Definitely doesn't help the bowlers. In fact, I would go so far as to say that the team was in a bad frame of mind. Anil Kumble refused to be interviewed on numerous occasions and also blocked anyone else from doing the customary TV interview before the start of play. Always a sign that the captain is frustrated. Why take it out on the media? All they're going to do is retaliate, and that, of course, results in more pressure. Whatever they do, it must be done soon, or Australia will make them seriously pay. Pakistan's controversial fast bowler Shoaib Akhtar has been named in the 15-man squad for the Champions Trophy. I think he's very lucky to be back in business, despite the fact that in full flight, Shoaib is still a spectacle. My attitude to Shoaib and all the problems he has been involved in has not changed. I don't think he sets a good example to the rest of the team, especially the youngsters, and I'm not sure that Pakistan needs any more of his destabilising behaviour. Pakistan need all their senior players to be pulling in the same direction. If they do, they're capable of playing outstanding cricket, and we all know cricket needs another consistent and good team. I would love to be proved wrong, and I'm happy to allow Shoaib time to demonstrate that he's capable of being a force for an extended period of time in a team game. Mind you, the latest news is that Shoaib's participation in the tournament is again in doubt after the Pakistan board served him an ultimatum saying that he could play only if he paid the fine of just over $100,000. The latest statement is yet another U-turn by an embattled Pakistan board, which had earlier softened its stance over the fine and cleared his selection. The staging of the Champions Trophy continues to create problems for the ICC because there are players in the world who are adamant that Pakistan is just not a safe place right now. This has created a catch-22 situation because the boards of South Africa, New Zealand, Australia and England in particular don't feel they can insist on their players visiting Pakistan when their own governments are warning their citizens to avoid Pakistan. The logical step is to allow players to withdraw from the tournament without jeopardising their future chances of selection. This, of course, will result in a watering down of the Champions Trophy and will upset the ICC's TV partner ESPN Star Sports, who pay a mountain of money for the ICC products. The only other option is to move the tournament to a venue that is acceptable to all. Sri Lanka has been mentioned in dispatches, but England also seemed to be emerging as a contender. One wonders what effect the behind-the-scene cricket political battle between the Indians and various other countries would have on the final decision. It's common knowledge that India have the numbers in the ICC, which usually means that they get their way. And right now, there are plenty of balls in the air, not least of which is the lucrative ESPN contract. My feeling is that the tournament will be moved to England because they have just finished their season and therefore have grounds and facilities ready to go at short notice. India will also be keen, I would have thought, to win England over because, at the moment, it seems to me that Lalit Modi and Giles Clark have little time for each other. This will be a huge kick in the teeth for Pakistan cricket lovers, but one can't blame players for not wanting to go to places where safety cannot be guaranteed.
What's eating Tony Greig?
It's beginning to irritate me that some members of the cricket family don't seem to understand that there's a place for 2020 cricket. Cricket is very lucky to have three different formats at international level because it helps our game appeal to a wider audience. 2020 cricket has been a huge short-term success, and it remains to be seen if it can maintain its momentum. I hope it does because I think it's wonderful fun, especially for young families who find it difficult to enjoy a full day at the cricket. At the same time, we must not make the mistake of changing things too dramatically in the short term. I'm happy to cut back a little on the number of one-day internationals played to accommodate the new format, but tests have to stay near enough as is. There's been an explosion in the number of TV channels available, and they need programming, and cricket is often on the top of the shopping list. We must not jeopardize this. It's also vital that the ICC increases its anti-corruption activity. Cricket has been warned, and I think administrators know that the game, as a result of the advent of 2020 cricket, is more vulnerable than it's ever been before. If we don't keep match fixing, game manipulation, and drug use in check, cricket's hard-won credibility will definitely take another serious hit.
My favourite cricketer.
I'm a little biased, but having been an all-rounder myself and having played with and against the former West Indian cricketer Sir Garfield St. Alban Sobers, known to many of his friends and admirers as Gary Sobers, I feel very qualified to eulogise him. Sobers is the greatest all-rounder the game has ever seen because he excelled in every department of the game. A brilliant batsman, a deadly and occasion very fast swing bowler, an excellent left-arm orthodox spinner, and a very handy left-arm wrist spinner. Add to this his excellence in the field, both close to the bat and in the outfield, and you have the perfect cricketer. Sobers played his first test match in 1953, aged 17. Just under 5 years later, in 1958, he set a test record by scoring 365 runs in a single innings that included 38 fours and, interestingly enough, not 1 6 against Pakistan. It was his first test century and a record which stood for over 36 years. In 2000, Sobers was named by a 100-member panel of experts as one of the five wisdom cricketers of the century. Sobers received 90 votes out of a possible 100. The other cricketers selected were Sir Donald Bradman, who received 100 out of 100, Sir Jack Hobbs, 30, Shane Warne, 27, and Sir Vivian Richards, 25. Sobers was also the most unselfish cricketer and played the game in an unbelievably positive manner. What a cricketer. Well, he must be very nearly the very best of them all.
One question only.
Right, the question of the week comes from Sandeep, who writes from Singapore. He wants to know, what are the possible problems with having different captains for tests and one-day internationals? Well, Sandeep, I'm not sure that there are many problems. In fact, it could be argued that there are many positives. Take the Indian situation, for example. Anil Kumble is coming to the end of his career, and when that happens, India will have Mahendra Singh Dhoni, a tried and tested leader. All this is because Dhoni was given a chance to lead the limited over team. It's not a bad way to ease a youngster into the captaincy role. If, on the other hand, a country has a great captain, it makes sense to maintain continuity by allowing him to lead all forms as long as he's a natural selection. There is nothing worse than having a captain who is not good enough to be selected in the team and therefore imposing him on that team. So as far as I'm concerned, the England side have got it right, having Kevin Peterson there, giving him an opportunity to captain the side at test level and one-day international level, I think is the way to go. But there can be extenuating circumstances. Well, we've got a bit of good news for those of you who have been taking part in my show each week. The last show of each month, we've decided that we're going to involve some of you that send in questions, and believe me, we get a lot of them. What we're going to do is we're going to try and answer a few of those questions, a few more of them, but we're also going to involve a couple of you who, in fact, send in a lot of questions on the basis that we'll have a bit of a discussion. So there's an opportunity for those of you who are interested in cricket and who've been listening and loyal to the Crick Info show that I do. Perhaps you'd like to put yourselves up, and then who knows, we may just end up having a chat together. Please don't forget to email your queries to tony@crickinfo.com. Don't forget to mention your name and the place where you're from. I'll pick the best question and answer it in the show next week. Thanks for your company. This is Tony for Crick Info Talk, signing off.
The Tony Greig Show on Crick Info Talk.